You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hi there. Welcome back once again to I Never Thought It Would Happen, brought to you by my good self, Chris Difford, and the wonderful charity Help Musicians. I'm about to welcome not one guest, but two. They are sisters from Nottingham who front the band Alt Black Era, a hugely exciting and dizzying blend of all sorts of music. They won a Mobile Award, but also signed to the legendary Earache record label. They have recently released their debut album, Rave Immortal. They look set to conquer the planet, as far as I can tell. So please welcome Nairobi and Jaya. Welcome to this podcast for Help Musicians. Are you familiar with the charity at all?
Yes, yeah, very, very familiar.
In what kind of way? What kind of respect?
So we received funding support from them in partnership with the Mobos a few years ago. And then we spoke just recently at the Music Week Awards, speaking about how instrumental that funding was to our careers.
Incredible. Are you picking up awards every week?
not yet. Hopefully soon.
What do you make of going to events like that?
I think we still get nervous because we haven't been to that many. So it's still like those nerves and going on stage and like at the podium. Think it's always the stairs. Am I going to drop down these stairs in front of like the entire music industry? But it was fine.
I always find them, you know, being in front of the music business, it always seems like you're going to get shot for saying the wrong thing, you know.
I think you do have to be like careful to some extent, but it's generally okay.
What award ceremony would you like to go to, for instance? What's on your list?
Well, the Brits. The Brits are next. Yeah. So that would be a big one for us, wouldn't it?
That'd
like
be a huge
everyone,
one.
Like detrimental to British music.
Not detrimental.
Oh yeah.
Not everyone who's important.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we did acting when we were younger. So it kind of almost feels like that. I was on, I'm not sure if you've heard of The Slammer.
Sounds good.
It's this kid's show, but because I was really young when I did it. And it's, you know how it works, like everyone's like in role, but then there's breaks in between the changeovers and the actors that come on stage. So it almost feels like a bit of a stage show in between when the cameras are or aren't on you.
That sounds great. Did you go to acting school then, or how was it?
Just for a few years, when I was really young, exploring whether I wanted to do music or drama, I would have been like between eight and 10, really. You know what I was in? A top load of music video.
Duh. Where are they now?
Top Loader or the music video?
No, Top Loader. They used to play all the festivals. I used to always see their name. It's like they seem to be able to play on the back of a truck somewhere. And they were really good live, I have to say.
Okay, no, we never saw them live, did we?
No.
Oh, they're pretty raucous. You've played festivals, I guess.
Yes, yeah.
What's your favourite stage?
I think...
Oh, 2003 is Forest Stage. That was amazing because it's the stage is just in the woods. So there's just so many trees surrounding us. And we played pretty late at night. And it just looked
the scenery
incredible.
Of it was really
and they had like little fairy lights on the trees.
Yeah, and we had our first ever crowd surfers as well at that show. That was quite a big one for us.
Crowd surfers, yeah. You don't get those at squeeze shows very much. Glastonbury, though, that's always the pinnacle, isn't it?
Yeah, that was, I mean, the last time we performed there, it was like 1 a.m. It was just something crazy late. And we were thinking, no one's going to be out at 1 a.m. Walk out to the stage. It turns out everyone's out at 1 a.m. It's like, you guys don't get tired at Glastonbury. Apparently not. It was a proper like rave. It was like even like the harder like Glastonbury stands were out at those times. Like everyone came to like proper get into it. So wild.
Did you camp?
No, we didn't. We were out of there.
You were out of there like...
We're kind of glampers more than campers. Yeah, of course.
Quite right too, yeah. I run a songwriting retreat in a house which is 500 yards from the gate there. So if you're ever at Glastonbury again and you want to pop in, we've got a nice big house with showers and everything.
Oh, facilities.
Facilities, that's what you
we
want.
We will holler.
Yeah, it's great. It's great fun. So what is co-writing like for you guys?
Want to talk on it?
Okay.
I think it really depends on the song. So for us, songs like that are more emo, a bit the slower songs, Che tends to take the lead on them. Like our song Coming Outside, Che was like the main co. You know, like how people say you can't have like two leads?
Yeah.
So depending on the style of music... Che will lead and I'll support, or I'll lead and Che will support.
Yeah.
So if the songs are like the harder D&B rap songs, that'll be more me. But my drummer's girlfriend in Straight to Heart, we wrote pretty 50-50.
Yeah.
It really depends on the actual song. And then also how we're both feeling on that day as well.
Really? Well, yeah. I mean, it's great to have a partnership that works like that, where you can rely on each other and... You know, say, well, this is probably a bit better for your voice and your mood.
Yeah, no, exactly. I think when we first started writing, so I was into poetry, like growing up. So I was writing poems before I was writing songs.
Mm.
But then when I transitioned to making songs, like in the early days, I wasn't thinking about Che's vocal style. I was just writing a song.
Mm.
So then when we'd come to sing it, Che'd be like, well, I don't want to rap. I want to show my range a bit more, or I just want to sing. So it kind of took some like learning together to be like, to think of each other as we're writing instead of just one person solely thinking about them or the other.
So was you guys' experience when you were at school that you wanted to express yourself? So you wrote poetry and then you immediately thought, well, I want to be in a band. I want to create songs.
So with me, it was, I think... because I was really into English and I kind of liked how dramatic you can make a poem and just, I think, the language and twisting it and having plot twists. And I was really excited by that. So that was, I think, even before I had a concept of songwriting, like before I was like, oh, I can be a musician. I was writing poems and I thought they were dead good. And then it wasn't until like Che got a bit older, because when I was like in like around year three, Che would have been like five, so she wasn't singing yet. But when she got to about like 7, 8, and I was like 10, 11, that's when we started singing together, and it started going into songs, and that's when we started really learning about each other as musicians instead of like Nairobi writes poetry and I'm playing with some Play-Doh in, you know, reception.
And who would have been your influences as songwriters? I guess it would have been people that your parents may have guided you towards. Is that right?
Yeah. So it would have been so artists like Lauryn Hill, Erykah Badu, Jill Scott, and then also people that we heard on the radio around that time. So JLS was really big on radio around them that era. One Direction.
Rihanna.
We had Rihanna, Beyonce, Leona Lewis as well.
Oh, my God, Leona, yeah.
Was a really big one, I think, because we had her on CD. Her vocals and songwriting really stood out to me at a young age. Mm. So Rihanna and Leona Lewis, I think, were like our early, like, wow, they're incredible.
And do you both share the same influences, or, Shay, are you different? Do you have a different pot to paint from?
I think we share majority of our influences, but because of our, like, age range, our age difference, I was still listening to, like, Little Mix when Nairobi progressed into her own music taste, but I was just, like, listening to what my friends were listening to in, like, Year 7, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we started... It wasn't until, like, later in secondary school slash, like, the beginnings of COVID where we started to find our own taste. Mm. So we never went back to school after 2020, so after the coronavirus. So I ended at year 11 and Chaya ended at year 8. They just never saw us again.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
A really abrupt stop. And then we started doing music full time. And that's kind of that year of 2020 was us on the internet mainly finding different genres and exploring our hair and our fashion. And that's, I think that was the descent or ascent into Alt Black Era.
And what was your parents' influence? Was that something that you found comfortable, or did you rebel against it like I did?
I don't think we rebelled, did we?
No, it's just like we still listen to that music now, but I think what we want to create isn't that. Our creative output isn't the same.
I do remember when our mum first showed us The Prodigy. What was her music video? Was it Breathe?
I think it was Breathe with the crocodile.
Yeah,
and this was like when we were pretty young. And it really scared us. And we were like, don't ever show us anything like that again. We were so scared.
No, but this was in the same era that we found, like, Michael Jackson's Thriller scary.
Yeah.
So, like...
like, everything was scary to us. A bit edgy.
Anything a bit edgy, we were genuinely frightened. And we've been scaredy cats anyway like that. Yeah. So when we were struggling with performance, so I've always been, like, a really wild, big personality. But on stage, when we first started, I was really small. And I was like... this is so not me, but I don't know how to express myself because people think I'm, you know, a bit off key if I perform how I want to perform. And then that's when our mum showed us The Prodigy and they're like, no, like, this is what expression looks like, basically. And that's when it clicks. And I was like, no, I can actually be myself because they're doing it and no one thinks they're off. Well, some people might, but I think that's when it clicked for me, definitely, where I was like, no, I can be myself on stage. And from then it was just upstream.
So did you go and see them play live?
Yes, we did.
Oh, no.
It was Leeds Arena.
Yeah.
Was it Leeds Arena?
That's huge, yeah.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Massive. Ooh.
What was amazing about it? Was it just the expression of performance or...?
I think it was just everything combined, and we've been massive fans since our mum showed us them, and the lights, just the energy of the audience too, because we were in the seated area, but everyone was standing up,
and the community of like with everyone like in their aunt jackets and the way that Maxim is still like controlling the whole whole arena from on stage. I think whenever we go to arenas we're just like, wow, like imagine if one day that can be us. And like,
and it
especially
will be.
With The Prodigy,
it will be.
Thank you.
Of course it will.
Our fingers are crossed for that.
Once you've got that seed in your ambition, I think it's all possible. You know, if you follow that the line in the middle of the road to where you want to be, I think you get there eventually. At least I hope so for you guys. It'd be great. Who else have you seen live that you found inspiring?
We did see Lauryn Hill live, didn't we?
Yes, wow. We did. That was...
like a year ago.
Yeah, that was massive.
Yeah, and I didn't, like... get the grasp of Lauryn Hill until I saw her live. I was like, oh, like I was like obsessed with Lauryn Hill for like months after that. But it was just amazing. And she brought out Zion to perform.
I think Damien was there as well. It was so warm. And I think just her message and how talented she is, like as a rapper and as a singer.
I didn't know she could rap like that.
No, she can end rapping because it's different, you know, because like obviously on a record you can modify it so much, but just hearing her go through all the flow in one was just, really, really big. Who else have we seen? I feel like we've seen loads of people. Now our minds have just gone blank.
It's okay.
I saw Sleep Token with Mum.
Yeah.
That was really good. It was, how do I explain seeing Sleep Token? It was very like, ambient. It just felt silently powerful. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like it wasn't a necessarily high energy thing.
Yeah, no, it was.
But there was power in what they were doing. Yeah.
And then
what did you learn from it?
I don't know. I actually don't know what I learned, but when I came back from the performance, I was like, I had a new head on. Like, I was songwriting. Yeah. I was just feeling very musical after that performance.
It inspired you then, obviously. Mm. And how is the discipline of writing for you guys? Is it something you think about, or do you just do it when it's ready?
I think we actually have the problem of writing too much, and we have, like our notes and our voice recordings just end up being a bit of a graveyard for songs. We are constantly writing to the point where the only time we didn't write was in that kind of like the first 4 months of this year is when we had like the album coming out. We had Mobos, we were in Texas. We had our first ever UK tour. We were just so busy. We didn't have time. But every other week, apart from those first 4 months, we've just been writing constantly. Because we write so many genres, it's always exciting to songwrite, because it's like today we can write a D&B song and tomorrow we can write an emo song. So it doesn't get boring, because there's always a new genre that you haven't written in.
But then do you think you find your personality in amongst all that? I mean, if you say, I want to write like this and I want to write like that, but then you find you in the middle somewhere.
I mean, I think our personalities are quite similar to who me and Chaya are as people anyway. I feel like Oblakira Nairobi is more Nairobi than normal Nairobi sometimes. Because of my disability, it sometimes restricts me. But when I'm like Nairobi on stage, that's how I see myself, as like this huge ball of energy that needs to sometimes chill out. Because I find I'm more chill at home, but I don't feel as much myself when I'm not medicated for my pain, basically. How do you feel?
I feel pretty similar. It definitely comes out in our writing, because I have more like singing parts and you have more energetic bits.
Yeah.
So I think we've got a nice blend.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you have to have discipline around the medication, I would imagine.
Yeah. So I typically only take it when I'm going out to do like a performance or...
Oh, right. Okay.
If I have a photo shoot coming up or studio where I need to be like 100% attentive. So because I have my disability is like chronic pain and chronic tiredness, so I have to manage it all. So when I'm just at home and I haven't got anything where I need to like have like a public appearance for, I don't take medication for that, because, you know, addiction worries and things like that. So when I am taking my medication, I have no pain. I feel like Nairobi again, if that makes sense. So regular Nairobi, like real Nairobi, doesn't actually feel like me. Oblakira Nairobi feels like me, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So you have to make sure that you're safe in that place.
Yeah.
Otherwise, what will happen?
Yeah. Nothing good.
Nothing good. Yeah, you're lucky to have that medication. When I was a teenager, there was nothing like that for me. So,
oh, really?
Not really that I could think of. I kind of didn't know what all that was about. So I just used to drink all the time, which was not a good idea, really. Self-medicating.
Yeah.
But it seems like we're in a generation now of medication. I have a stepson who's on medication, and it's completely changed his life. From being all over the place, he's suddenly very, very focused. It's amazing.
Yeah, that is amazing. So I think as long as you're careful with it and you know when to take it when needed, so it is monitored. just to protect myself. But we'll see how it goes.
So is music an escape for you, do you think?
Yes, definitely. It was originally, so when I first got ill in like the late 2020, I was sleeping like 22 hours a day. And my mum found this songwriting course.
Where was that?
It was just online.
Oh, yeah.
For an hour. It was through Inspire Youth Arts, which is like a charity organisation. It was just 1 hour every Tuesday. And she'd wake me up and say, you know what, Nairobi, you love songwriting, you love music. Get up for this 1 hour, like 1 hour a week, and do what you love, and then you can go back to sleep. And sometimes I'd just be like, no, like I'm really tired. Mum, like, just let me sleep. And she'd be like, no, you love this, get up. So I'd be on those songwriting every Tuesday for an hour. I did that for a few months, and then they invited us to do this like live performance of some of our songs, and that was my first trip out of the house in like a year. And I wore these like 4-inch goth platform boots when I couldn't even barely walk. I was strutting down the street, nearly broke my ankle a few times, but that's okay. And then we did the show, and it was, I think that was like the, that was definitely the start of my healing and with music. And then we got signed to their like non-for-profit label, and we started releasing music and going into the studio and shooting music videos. And it's, I think it literally got me up and to heal myself, because before, you know, during 2020, so I wasn't in school, obviously no one was, but I felt like I didn't have anything to do, anything to give. So there was no reason for me to get out of bed because I was so ill. But just slowly but surely, I managed to get back into the real world. So that was my story to being as athletic and fit as I am now.
That's great. Help musicians is very good for that too. They have a helpline, but also they... they have songwriting retreats that I host for them. And we have like 15 young people come to co-write songs for a week in a house in the country. And it's been fascinating to learn from much younger people than myself about what it's like to be younger in the music industry now, because it's so different.
Right, yeah.
I mean, it must be challenging for you guys.
I'll say the most challenging part is the disrespect, because we're young and people don't really take us seriously.
That's disgusting. Yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah, when we first started, we were like, what, 17 and 14?
Yeah.
And sometimes we're going into rooms and then we just wouldn't be heard because how young we were.
Yeah, and me and Shaya have always known exactly the direction we want to do, like, and we know exactly how we want our songs to sound and visually how we want to look. We've been really clear on that. But yeah, there's been quite a few people that haven't respected that or thought that we didn't know what we were talking about, because, you know, it could have been because of our age, our gender, our race. It could have been anything, you know. Yeah. But the general disrespect was quite shocking at the beginning, because we were really grounded in ourselves. So to have other people coming in from the outside and not respecting...
Yeah, like jarred us, didn't it?
Yeah, we were like, what? Yeah. But because we have, like, good foundations, I think through charities, like, you know, I said this on the Music Week Awards, but because of organisations like Help Musicians and Mobos, we kind of had a certain amount of support where we could end relationships where we weren't being respected, instead of thinking that we had to because we had no one else. Because it's kind of like, no one at the Help Musicians team would ever disrespect me or treat me silly just because I'm young. So we were able to compare a good relationship with a bad relationship. So I think that was really helpful. Yeah, that's been the biggest challenge. And I think one thing that's been really good, I think, era-wise, is because we've grown up in like the social media era. So because of my disability, I can't like do big tours, and I can't, I can't stay on the road for long. I can't like show after show after show, because that would physically just, it's not happening. But because of social media, being able to like share content in it to reach millions of people has been massive for us. And that's how we've kind of got our name out, is through socials.
Yeah, and through YouTube, I guess.
Yeah, YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, bit of everything. Yeah. It's still hard work, so I don't feel like we've skipped working hard, because them posting schedules are vicious, I tell you.
I can imagine, yeah.
But we have managed to build a career without having to do shows that my body physically just wouldn't be able to handle.
Hi, I'm Chris Difford, and you're listening to I Never Thought It Would Happen. Coming up next, I'm answering your questions.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This is a message from Tony Miller in Canterbury. Hey, Chris, you seem to spend just as long on the road now as you did when you were younger. Is it harder now you are older and sober? And what do you do to keep sane on the road? Thanks, Tony. Well, Tony, keeping sane on the road is an interesting question. I just keep in my lane, focus on the show, and don't stress about anything else. I just try and keep it as simple as absolutely possible. And I really enjoy both my solo shows and performing with Squeeze. So yeah, it is harder the older that you get, but it gets better too. This is a message from Lizzie Cass in Maidstone. How has the advancements in music technology changed the way Squeeze write and record? Can you describe how it was and how it is now? Love the podcast. Well, thank you very much. That's very kind of you. So let me see how have things changed. Well, back in the old days, you just turned on a tape recorder and record the band. And that was kind of brilliant in a way because there were no boundaries. You just had to get it right. These days, with modern technology, you don't have to get it right first time because the computer will show up all of the mistakes and they can be corrected. On my recent trip to a studio in Eastbourne to record my musical podcast, I went back to tape and there's no computers between what the band played and what you will hear. It's just pure fun, joy, writing, recording, and being in your own songs. So thanks for that question. So how do you choose the musicians that work around you? Has it been easy?
Some aspects, yeah. So with our band, we found our drummer. Mm. We used to go when we were younger to our local community recording studio.
Where was that?
Nottingham, St Anne's, okay. Oh, yeah. CRS. Mm. So we started going there again after like a bit of a break. Oh, this was Obsession Solar era. So we started like experimenting with more like harder guitars. Mm. Mm. And our drummer clearly looks like a metalhead, even for people that don't know what metal is, because we weren't really that clear on it. So our mum was like, ask him like what he thinks of the music, because we were trying to figure out what genre it was, what type of people would listen to it. So my mum was like, ask him. And we were like, no, we don't know him. We're scared. Like, I don't want to speak to him. My mum was like, don't miss an opportunity. And that's kind of like my key word. My key word is opportunity. I can't miss an opportunity. I was like, bam. Yeah, it's almost like, you know,
When spies
like say like a word and then it like snaps you in. Opportunity is my word. I'm like, my radar goes off. I'm like, opportunity, opportunity. So I'm like running this guy that down that's now left and he's like down the hall. I'm like, excuse me, excuse me, excuse me. And I'm like, oh, can you come and listen to our song? It's kind of different and we're not sure what it is. And he's like, yeah, sure. So he comes in, we play the song and he's like, oh, this is sick. This reminds me of like Yonica. And then he like lists bands that we've never heard of before. In this moment, Bring With Horizon, and we're like, cool. Who are all these people? And then that's the deep dive into the alternative scene. And that's kind of what started getting us into rock, emo, metal, and all the subgenres as well of alternative music. And then his best friend now plays guitar for us as well. So it's remained quite communal, which is nice. And we still work with the same producer that we worked with from like, he was introduced to us through the non-for-profit label. Through Inspire Your Thoughts. So we still work with him because he respects us. He understands what we need. And we work a little bit differently, actually, we've been told. We don't work how normal people work.
Mm.
Which was, we were surprised. We were like, what do you mean? Because obviously we started so young and we haven't worked with other producers much or other sessions to know that how we work is a little bit abnormal, because we also kind of produce, but not physically, because we don't have the physical skills for that, but we know how the bass sounds, for example. So I'd be like, the bass goes, brr, 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 and then he's like, okay. And then we just go through all the sounds and try to find it. And it was especially hard when we were doing orchestral instruments, because if I wasn't exactly sure what instrument it was, but I know how it sounds, so I'd be like, oh, I think it's an oboe. It's not an oboe. but we're going through the different instruments to try and find what I'm hearing. Yeah. So it's kind of, he's quite patient as well with us to kind of get what's in our heads outside. It's very, very fluid, creative.
And so do you have management to hold you in all of that stuff so you don't have to think about that as well?
What you mean, like just our daily schedules and stuff?
Yeah, and for, you know, I know, are you on Earache or?
Yeah, so with Earache label-wise, but it's actually our mum is co-managing us.
Perfect.
That's great. Perfect.
I'm glad my mum never got into management. I would just eat cake all the time.
Would you really? So that's been really good, just in terms of direction, having like someone that 100% has our best interest at heart and knows how we work and knows about my disability. Because I only started talking about my disability in, was it just like mid last year?
Yeah.
So I was disabled for like 2 years and no one knew. Which was really hard, but like, so going to the first MOBO awards we went to, we were nominated. What was it, 2024 MOBOs?
Yeah,
we were nominated for it. And so mum organised like a room, like away from like the tables and everything, where I could go and rest, because I was still really ill then and I needed like a good 45-minute power nap so I could attend the awards.
That's great.
In the ceremony, sometimes, like, you know, because the camera's pan, sometimes I'm there, sometimes I'm not.
My God, that's perfect management. That really is. That's a skill.
So, yeah, so
but then
just
she's
knowing.
Your mum, so, you know, she's done everything from change your nappy to get you on stage. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so just, like, I feel like it's, like, a perfect run of motherhood, just taking us right through.
Yeah.
Just forever.
Yeah, that's really cool. So ambitions, what are your ambitions in there, do you feel? Where would you like to be? What stage would you like to be on? Who would you like to be interviewed with on telly?
I'd love to play Pyramid Stage at Glastonbury. I thought that's probably on everyone's bucket list. Yeah, to play that stage.
That's right. Yeah. That's a cool one to do.
Yeah, I think so. I think a lot of my personal aspirations lie around, I think, collaborations. I think, like, the Prodigy. Can you imagine sharing a stage with the Prodigy? Oh,
no,
that would be. I think that would be a pretty high peak for me, music career wise, to share a stage, and like not the stage. I mean, like, be on the stage at the same time, not just be on the stage at a different time.
Yeah,
no, be on the stage with them, like have a song together or be bought out or something, just because of their energy. It's, they really inspire me. So I'd love to be on a stage at the same time with Liam and Maxim.
But you have your own energies, and, you know, I don't think, you know, to share a stage with anybody else would benefit you. I think what you have is unique, and I think that's all you need to have an ambition for the future.
Yeah, I think so. I think just once, though, it would be nice, because I guess it wouldn't be necessarily our fan base, because our songs, like, our fans love to sing our songs back at us, which is, for the first time that happened, was really weird.
Yeah,
to have like a room of people singing your own lyrics back.
Isn't that lovely? Beautiful.
It's astounding, honestly. And especially with the really deep songs, like, it kind of, like, the first time I did Straight to Heart, I'm not sure if you've heard that song by us, but it's about my disability and how I was abandoned by quite a lot of my friends because they assumed I was too disabled to be a part of their friendship group, basically. So we performed it in Nottingham, like, hometown crowd, and everyone was like singing it back. The words are like, stay pleased, my friends have all withdrawn. And I was like, I couldn't even sing anymore. I was like, no, this is too much, guys.
You cried.
Yeah, I cried a little bit. But it's just that the feeling that not only is it our story, but it's some of our songs are also our audience's story, because we have a lot of, you know, disabled fans or fans that have struggled with friendship groups or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's not even just it's not even just me and Chaya anymore, it doesn't feel like. It feels like it's so many other people who have lived it.
And you're being true to yourself. You're telling a story about your life. And I worked for a while with Youngblood.
Okay, nice.
And he's completely true to himself. You know, he tells the story of his disabilities and his craziness. He opens the forum up to his audience to be part of his family. I think that's a lovely thing.
Absolutely.
I saw him at Glastonbury a couple of years ago, and I couldn't believe what I was seeing. It was just great. And I can imagine you being like that too, if you've got people singing back your words and they're following the story that you're laying out for them. That's just the genius part of music, I think.
Yeah.
So, let's see. America, what's that like for you? You said you went to Texas, you went to South by Southwest, which is a zoo.
Yeah, it was, can I say first, hot as hell. Hot as hell. And this was March. So glad that South by Southwest isn't in like the summer.
It was hot.
We actually learned so much from the conferences. That was a really big part of the trip for us.
Was it? Yeah.
We learned so much about like the gaming industry and how that intersects with the music industry and how important it is, as well as going to like marketing conventions and like advertising things. So it was really good, like business, like music business wise.
Yeah.
It was incredible, as well as the shows, which we were a bit nervous for, because you know, because everyone has the badges and it's kind of like a watch situation rather than a let's jump. But we had them jumping at the end. We had them jumping. Because when we first went out, we're like, no, everyone's just going to stare at us and watch because they want to see Old Black Era. They didn't want to experience Old Black Era. But we had them experiencing by the end, trust.
How did you cope with the tiredness of that, though? Because it's so much going on and you've flown a long way, probably for the first time. It's an exhausting thing, even for me.
Yeah, so we went quite a bit in advance to settle in.
Did you? Yeah.
Yeah, so, and then we had quite a large group, so we split up to go to seminars. So sometimes me and one of my managers would go, sometimes Che and the other manager would go to a seminar. We'd have our band at seminar separately. We were like, everyone,
and then we'd
go.
Yeah. The day,
and have like meetings and discuss like what happened at everyone's different seminars. And then the shows, we did three shows. Yes, so we didn't do like the crazy run. Like some people do a good like three shows a day. We weren't doing that.
We did
three shows. They were incredible.
It was really hot, though. It was really hot. I was just thinking back.
It was terrible, sweaty, isn't it?
It was really hot. But we did meet quite a lot of, like, fans as well at the end of the shows who were like, some of them travelled quite a distance as well. Like, I'm a fan of you. We were driving down from LA, blasting out your music, wanted to come and see you. We had, like, some fans that were from Texas as well, which was nice, who came to see us. So,
but because Texas is so big, if there was, like, comments on, like, our Instagram saying, I'm from Houston and I love your music, and I'm like, oh, we're performing at South by Southwest. And it's like, that's in Austin.
Yeah, they're, like, too far.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Texas is too big for a little travel to a different city for a show.
Yeah, touring in America can be exhausting, and I'm sure...
Have you toured America?
I've toured it constantly since 1979.
Oh, wow. How was it for you then?
Knackering.
Yeah. Every year?
Not every year, but pretty much.
Wow. You know,
when we first went to America, we went round in a minibus. There was five of us in a minibus with our gear in the back. And we just played places that didn't really want to listen to us, but we just did it. And, you know, it paid dividends because after that we then played in colleges, which was important.
Okay, yeah.
And now we can go back and play sheds and small arenas and stuff.
Nice.
But it's expensive now because there's three tour buses and trucks and God knows what. It's really a costly thing. But it's exhausting too. So I know how you feel. It's like, I've learned to sleep almost standing up in a dressing room.
Oh my gosh, that is so funny. But it's good that, like, it's weird because, you know, if I'm ever feeling like tired or like for a photo shoot, before a show or like on tour, but I always remember that, like, growing up, I pray for times like this. Like, I wish I could be on tour. I wish I could do photo shoots. It's kind of like feeling like a bit groggy, or like even like your situation. When I can start complaining when I have to have 3 tour buses in America, like, oh, not the 3, not the 3 tour buses. Do you know what I mean? Like, if we ever get to your level, like, do you know what I mean? To have the 3 buses, that is going to be huge. But then obviously there's always, you hit a level, like, I remember photo shoots growing up was really big for me. I just think, oh, photo shoots, it's like modeling. Oh my gosh. When you got to do 4 outfits in like a 4-hour thing, that gets tiring really quickly.
It does.
Yeah, well, if that ever happens to me, I'll let you know what it's like. Hey, look, thank you so much for your time. You've been absolutely beautiful. And I wish you all the best. And if you do come to Glastonbury, you can get my email from your manager and you can come to the house and shower.
Thank you so, thank so you much for having us.
Yeah, lots of love. Thank you very much.
See ya. Thank you. Bye. Bye-bye.
Well, that was such a lively conversation, and I can only see great things happening for them. These sisters from Nottingham are just full of power and full of honesty, really. So I'm really looking forward to listening to their music. And I guess if it wasn't for COVID in some ways and their mum, we wouldn't have all this exciting stuff coming out of these two amazing people. What could be better? If you want to know more about the amazing work that Help Musicians does, then take a look at their website, follow them on social media like I do, and please consider donating a little money to the charity. They do incredible work supporting musicians of all types across the UK, changing people's lives for the better. And don't forget, I'm taking your questions about anything music-wise, from writing, recording, touring, and everything in between. Your well-being, maybe. Send your questions to chris@helpmusicians.org.uk. That's chris@helpmusicians.org.uk. Subscribe to the podcast and tell your mates about it. Keep coming back. I Never Thought It Would Happen is a Give Me Sugar production for Help Musicians.